Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Insight Podcast in Focus. Today, I've got Dr. Michael Gon from Kenya. Welcome, Dr. Michael.
Thank you, Masimba.
So I guess what's curious is you're Kenyan and spent quite a bit of time in Rwanda. How did that happen?
I'll say I was in the Kenyan private insurance sector for quite some time, but maybe I'll say I felt a bit disillusioned with the whole sector, and I needed something new. That I just wanted a new challenge. So I saw an opportunity in Rwanda, applied for it. There's a friend who recommended it to me and told me, you know what, it will give you a new experience in the development health space. And yeah, that's how I applied. I was interviewed and I got the role, and yes, I moved to Rwanda.
Okay. How long were you in Rwanda for?
I was in Rwanda for slightly over a year. It was around 1 year, 1 month.
Okay. And I guess today, I mean, you've been invited to the BHF conference to talk about the Rwanda National Health System. So I guess maybe just give us an overview of the system, you know, the nuances about it, but just sort of a helicopter view about how the health system in Rwanda works.
Yeah, the healthcare system in Rwanda is mainly public-based, and it's run maybe by mostly by two schemes. That is, we have the community-based health insurance scheme, which is the CBHI, for the informal sector, and we have RAMA for the formal sector. So service provision mainly is in the public hospitals, with data showing that more than 90% of all the services are offered within the public sector. So maybe I'll focus more on the CBHI, which I'll say is the pride of Rwanda. It's one of the success stories of health insurance in Africa, having covered so many people. Currently, more than 80% of the Rwandan population is covered by the CBHI. So it's been the, you know, the reason why Rwanda has been able to improve its health indicators over the past 20 years.
Okay. And then maybe if we just talk about the CBHI, I mean, in your view, and you covered a bit of it in your talk, but what are the key aspects which have led to success?
Yes, I'll talk about about the enrollment within the CBHI. And as opposed to other schemes where enrollment has been voluntary, in Rwanda it's compulsory, in that the government has made it possible for people to enroll while explaining to them the benefits of enrolling within the CBHI. And this is done by local authorities, which basically forms part of their performance measures. And through this, Rwanda has been able to have a high enrollment rate, as I mentioned, with more than 80% of the population enrolled. And the next thing, if I could talk about, is service provision, which, as you say, service provision has focused more on the public sector, and this has managed to, you know, manage the costs within that sector. And also with that, the government has ensured that it's in control of the services that are being offered within the sector, and this has basically improved the quality of service delivery. And this has enticed more people to enroll, you know, looking at the success factors, how the scheme has been run, and so forth. And I also say that there are various innovations that have been put in place, such as, raising funds, where the government has been covering for the vulnerable populations by paying premiums for them, and also looking for other sources of income to supplement what's currently, collected from the beneficiaries. So the government has ring-fenced certain taxes that have helped a great deal in making the CBHI sustainable. Also, there are certain reforms that have been done in the recent past in terms of provider-purchaser split, where the CBHI currently as being managed, find that the MOH, the Ministry of Health, focuses more on the service delivery, while the actual pooling of funds is done at by the Rwanda Social Security Board, that is the RSSB. And in addition, Rwanda is looking at ways of overhauling the provider payment mechanism by focusing more on capitation and less on fee-for-service payments. So those are some of the factors that have really made the scheme a success.
So you said quite a bit of a mouthful there. I think I just want to sort of talk about a few of those things. Let's start off with the RSSB. I guess it's not a well-understood part about the health system in Rwanda. I mean, how important has the RSSB's role been in making sure you have this success story, both in CBHI, in Rama, and I guess in the military scheme as well?
Yes, the RSSB has put in place measures to ensure that revenue mobilization is done in a proper way. And this is by doing an overall analysis of the CBHI to more or less try to understand how much resources will be needed to run the scheme sustainably while still offering quality healthcare services to the Rwandan population. So this has been done by proposing various financing means to the government and putting forth case studies for that which have been implemented. Then in addition, I'll say the RSSB also manages claims for the that come from the public hospitals and basically the providers. So with this, the RSSB has put in place various measures to ensure proper management of claims and ensure that the CBHI operates within a framework where, in addition to ensuring quality of services, but the claims are well managed. And this has been done through various innovations, such as digitization of the claims process to ensure that that claims that are coming from the healthcare facilities reach the RSSB at the shortest time possible. And this has translated to a shorter payment time for the healthcare providers. In addition, as I'd mentioned earlier, in terms of reform of the provider payment mechanisms, RSSB has been at the forefront of championing for capitation, as this will ensure that facilities are able to get their resources fast enough, in addition to managing costs, as opposed to currently as it's done with the fee-for-service model.
Okay.
Yes.
So maybe just picking up on that provider payment mechanism. So I guess, you know, maybe if you could just give the audience just a background to what kind of work is happening in Rwanda with regards to provider payment mechanisms.
Yes, so currently I will say that fee-for-service model dominates the provider payment mechanisms, both for public and private providers. But Rwanda is moving towards capitation for primary healthcare facilities. And these primary healthcare facilities are the health posts and the health centers. So so currently a process is ongoing to do a readiness assessment for capitation in these facilities, and this will focus on calculating the overall claims costs and trying to calculate a capitation amount that will be allocated for each member to each facility for each quarter. So with this, Rwanda has done an overview, I looked at the entire healthcare system, look at the services that are being delivered at the primary healthcare level, and also looked at some of the unique peculiarities of certain facilities, such as those within the urban areas and those within the rural areas, and try to factor all these nuances when calculating the capitation rates. So as to ensure that the rates that are being applied would be fair enough for the facilities, so that there's no so as to reduce the risk of a facility not meeting its needs due to inadequate resources to meet the healthcare needs of the population. So currently, that has moved a long way, and this should be rolled out in the foreseeable future. Also, for hospitals, Rwanda is also working on a diagnosis-related grouping for reimbursing these hospitals. So this, I'll say, is still not as advanced as the capitation payment mechanism, and this will ensure that hospitals are reimbursed based on the DRG framework that will be developed in combination or rather in consultation with the various partners. So there are various options of either adopting a ready-made DRG tool or developing a Rwanda DRG tool from scratch, and this will also enable Rwanda to ensure that costs within the hospitals are well controlled, in addition to ensuring that the quality of healthcare services is maintained at the level it is before before a new provider payment mechanism is introduced.
Okay. And it's quite interesting you mentioned the DRG, because I think we were involved in the DRG project, which is how we met.
Yes.
And I guess maybe how we spent a bit of time in Rwanda. I guess for me, the one thing that I always found interesting is how short the time period between an idea and action is in Rwanda is as soon as everyone agrees, that's just what happens. I think it is quite a special part of the system, which stands out quite a bit. Is the one, during your presentation, the one thing I found that was quite interesting was you put up a list of 5 areas where, in terms of private sector investment, where, you know, there were 5 areas that were highlighted. Is just out of interest, I mean, who comes up with that list? Is it the Ministry of Health? Is it the RSSP? How did that list come about?
This list came about as a result of engagements between the Ministry of Health and various partners as part of a project that I was involved in, that is the USAID RISA project. So this was part of the deliverables to basically increase private sector engagement in Rwanda, that is in healthcare in Rwanda. So I would say that these 5 areas came about from a long list that was developed by both the MOH and various partners. And through this, we were able to narrow down to these 5 areas that are a priority area for Rwanda. And I'll mention them. There is, in the service provision space, there are dialysis services, specialized imaging services. Then in the manufacturing space, we have manufacture of IV fluids and medical consumables. And lastly, there's equipment maintenance.
Okay. Interesting. Because I guess it's an interesting lesson for other markets that when there is collaboration between the public and the private sector, to the point that the areas where the private sector can get involved in the delivery of care are clear. And just from a, I don't know whether it's a regulatory or a funding or what is, I guess, the Ministry of Health or government do to assist private sector investors in those 5 areas? Do they get a special exemption? Is it a tax break? Are there any other special conditions that apply there?
Okay. Currently, I'm really not aware about any measures that have been taken. We developed the business cases and handed them over to the MOH, and the MOH will pick up from there. But I believe the options that you've mentioned will be on the table to basically attract more private investors in the healthcare system in Rwanda.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for that. One of the things that you mentioned during your talk is the basket of care. I guess that's one of the things that is the most difficult to understand about the Rwandan health system. So you mentioned that the basket of care isn't defined. So how does it work exactly? Because I think in most environments, people are used to stated benefits or stated benefit limits. So how does care actually get provided if there's no stated basket of goods?
Okay, it actually stated, and it stated that the CBHI covers services that are offered at health center, health post, and hospital level. But then also, to supplement that, there is a CBHI list of medicines that indicate the medicines that are covered. But I think when it comes to definition, then maybe there's always the way the other benefit packages are defined, where there's a clear list of inclusions and exclusions, and also the limit to, let me say, either can be the quantity of service being offered or the monetary limit in terms of the amount that one is allowed to spend. So currently, as it is defined, but it is not that well defined and clearly defined. But there's a process right now that is ongoing that will ensure that this is well defined, so that people can know, for example, if it's a case of cancer care, you know that you're entitled to this number of radiotherapy sessions or something like that. So as to make it more clear so that people are aware of what they're entitled to.
Okay, interesting. And then from a funding perspective, you know, you spoke a little bit about the range of premiums. I mean, some of them at the low end are relatively low. Is the system fully funded from the premium collection, or does government have a big role in subsidizing part of that?
Okay, the system is funded from a mix of financing sources. So we have the premium collections. We also have taxes that have been ring-fenced for healthcare, and we have cross-subsidization from other insurance companies such as Rama and private health insurance. And also the formal sector also, that is formal sector employees also contribute a certain percentage of their salaries towards the CBHI. So I would say that having that diverse funding sources has also contributed to the CBHI sustainability.
Okay, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. From the private sector, if the private sector entities that contribute, would it be companies via a tax that they pay, or how would that work exactly?
Okay, for the private sector, I'll talk about private health insurance, which contributes a certain percentage of the premiums that are collected. But also others, you'll say that that there are just certain taxes that the government collects. So it's a percentage of those taxes that is allocated towards CBHI. But then there is no tax that says that the private sector has to pay this amount of tax for this.
Okay. Well, it's part of general taxes,
yes,
pretty much.
Yes, general taxes.
Okay. All right, okay. Well, that's interesting. And I guess maybe there's no perfect system. What are the areas that you think are either number one, that Rwanda is working on improving in the system, that have either been identified, or areas you think that need to be worked on to keep improving the system?
Yes, one of the areas that Rwanda is working on, as I'd mentioned previously, is on the benefit package, to define it and include certain areas that were not so well covered, such as I'll talk about cancer care. And this will help improve the service offering that's available to the beneficiaries of the CBHI. Also, I'd also talked about the provider payment mechanisms, a review of that, which is focused more towards sustainability to ensure that the costs or the claims are more predictable and can be managed or rather paid from the resources that are collected. And this not to say that the scheme is not sustainable. It's actually sustainable. But then you always have to look at the future, where you have to look at, you have to improve the benefits that the beneficiaries are entitled to make them more enthusiastic about the system. And this will need more resources.
Okay. All right. No, thanks for that. I mean, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Is this your first time in South Africa?
Yes, it's my first time in Cape Town. And yes, I've really loved the place. It's quite an amazing city, I'll say.
Okay. Yes. So next time, please come back, but for your own personal reasons, like a social visit.
I'm definitely coming back with my family, maybe end of this year or early next year. When it will be a little bit warmer.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay. No, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.